Hey everybody, this is my podcast. This is my podcast. This is my podcast. Hey everybody, this is my podcast. This is my podcast. So suck it.
And suck it good indeed. Hey everybody, it's me, Jarrett. It's my podcast. This is number 14. And I'm a little embarrassed, actually. The content of this podcast is the first of three or four that I did from Austin, South by Southwest, back in March. And actually mid-March at that. But gosh, things have been a little bit nutty for me. And to sit down and put one of these together, I just haven't taken the time. And I for that, I'm sorry. But it's nice to be talking to you now. I hope everybody is doing fantastic. I know it's been an insane year for me personally, and also for the bands that I'm a member of, and all of the other things that I've got going on. But you know, all for the greater good. All really, really good stuff. We went to the UK. Eric and I went to the UK for an acoustic tour this April, and we took with us Ryan Hamilton and Linus of Hollywood, so that we could basically have a whole night of just like side projects and Bowling for Soup interactive insanity. So if you came to the show or one of the shows, I hope that you did indeed enjoy yourself. Eric came up and did some of his solo stuff first each night. And for those of you who don't know, he has recorded a solo album, and we will hope to have that out sometime beginning of next year. And then my side project, which is called People on Vacation, we went on, did a couple of acoustic songs. Then Linus of Hollywood joined us on stage, and he joined Eric on stage. And then Linus of Hollywood did a solo set, and then Eric and I played, and Ryan did a song with Eric, and then me and Linus did a Jarina song, which is our side thing. It was this big, incestuous, just drunken, jolly, awesome tour. And so thanks to everybody who came out to that. And then on April 24th, our brand new album, Bowling for Soup's brand new album, Fishing for Woos, came out on our own label. And very exciting stuff for us. I mean, we're really proud of it. And it's out there, and it's doing great. And, you know, been having a lot of fun playing some shows here in the U.S. now and getting to play a few songs off of it each night. So that is great. And I guess the biggest news for us right now, two huge things, actually. The Bowling for Soup app is out on iTunes for iPhones and iPads. And I am told that the Droid users of the world, Droiders, is that what they call you guys? Droids? We'll be getting an app sooner than later. So I don't know anything about that side of things other than there's a freaking app out there. So go get it. And if you don't have it, then you should. It's freaking free. And I actually got tweeted by some kid, and he was just like, "Hey, you know, I don't know whether I should go get the app or not, because how do I know if it's any good?" And I'm like, who gives a fuck? It's free. You know, just go get it. And then, you know, you can delete it if you don't like it, or you can suck it up and just be like, hey, some free shit on my phone right there. And every once in a while, I'll look at it on the toilet, you know? And well, I mean, don't put your phone on the toilet and look at it, because if it goes in there, then that's bad news. Believe me, ask Linus Dotson about that. Linus of Hollywood on the POV tour dropped his BlackBerry in the toilet, and he was a mess for 2 days, so you don't want any part of that dropping of the phone toilet stuff. But that's one big thing that we've got going on. The second thing is our video for Turbulence came out actually today, but I don't know when this is going to air, but it's out. So you can see it probably at bowlingforsoup.tv by the time this comes out. And I'm very proud of it, because it's the first Bowling for Soup video that my company, Built by Ninjas, made. And so me and my partner Heath are very, very proud of the cinematic, awesome video that we made for Bowling for Soup. So anyway, check that out. And I'm not really going to talk a bunch on this, because I know there's probably 1,000 things that I need to say. But to be honest, we celebrated our 17th birthday this past weekend. I'm a little tired, So I basically am sitting down to try to just edit one of these together and get it out to you guys. So I'm going to play you an interview that I did with the guys from Hanson at South by Southwest. And these guys were so gracious. I mean, we had known each other a bit through other friends. And I think we talk about that on here, but had never really met. And we were out seeing the band Rooney at South by Southwest. And I said, sort of joking and drunkenly, you guys should come by the hotel. We have Pro Tools set up and we could do a podcast. And they were like, okay, sure, we'll be there. And they did. They showed up and it was supposed to only be 20 minutes. And I had them, I think it's like almost an hour long. So that's why I'm going to go ahead and get to it and play it for you guys. And then I don't really know what I'm going to do, if I'm going to talk at the end of this or not. So we'll just see. But anyway, thanks for listening to my podcast. This is an interview with the fantastic band Hanson, who have just been doing great things musically for so long, but are also just great humanitarians, who've done a lot they did mobilize all of South by Southwest, and get everybody doing some great things for Japan right after the, horrible tsunami, happened. So, it was really cool to be a small part of what they were able to throw together, raise just awareness and money and all of those things. But they did pretty much single-handedly rally the entire festival, which was no small undertaking. And so props to those guys for saying they were going to do something and actually doing it, because that is not something that happens a lot in this industry of which we are a part. So anyway, here is my interview from South by Southwest 2011 with the fantastic band Hanson. Enjoy. Hey everybody, South by Southwest coming at you. I am a little bit hungover, but not as much as my friend Eric, who fell down last night and fell asleep on the toilet last night. Wow. True story.
These are amazing things.
True story. Wow. That actually happened. I'm joined by Hanson, who we were just talking about this. We have so many common friends. It's like we're old friends, but we've really officially never met.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know each other, but we know each other so well.
Yeah,
we recorded an album with one of your microphones.
That's true. That's a true story.
So in a way, we've swapped spit.
Yes,
which is
super weird.
Yeah. Now that's just okay. That's a good start, though. To the
you got to start somewhere, and just jump in on it.
I love how this is going so far. By the way,
I'm glad, because this is normally what we do.
Swap spit?
Yeah, well, that, as much as possible.
Which, not necessarily with anybody in this room, probably hot babes.
While we're talking about it, talking about spit, backwashing is totally disgusting.
Yes.
So,
agreed. I have a 5-year-old, and he still does the thing where he wants to take a drink of whatever you have, but he does the put the whole mouth over it thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that can ruin a beverage quickly. And here's the thing. He came from my wife, and I'm helped make him.
Actually,
but
I think
still,
he came from
I don't,
you.
I don't really want his spit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I was thinking of my 3-year-old when I said that.
Yeah,
because
backwash.
He does that same thing, my drink.
Yeah.
It's like, no. It's,
yeah.
It is your drink now.
I can't
get it. It's a little particles of like graham cracker.
That's
or
totally it.
Or like something random like that. And you're like, oh, wow. I mean, I'm cool with like sharing a drink with someone, but this is like another level. Like when there are particles
so
that
true.
I can see.
So true.
In a drink.
Is that a whole Cheerio?
Yes.
I don't want to get stuck on this forever, but the worst to me is when like you go to the bathroom and then you come back to the table, you're at a restaurant, and you can see the particles that have drifted to the bottom, and you know someone's
taking a drink.
Or the other one that I can think of is, for some reason, I have a 3-year-old, almost 3-year-old, and he, for some reason, likes to eat most of his food and then start saving it up in his cheek.
He's
so
part
like
squirrel.
There, you're like, wait a second. You know, it looks like he's being a squirrel. Like, Monroe, what are you doing? Nothing. What is that in your mouth? Finish eating your food. So if he drinks
Yeah.
Something after you. It's,
you're
it's
getting low. The funny thing about level. Funny thing about having boys though is how quickly we do get annoyed by things that have been annoying our significant others or sisters for so long. Like the whole peeing on the toilet thing drives me absolutely nuts. And like I've actually said things like, seriously, Jack, you're five. If I sit and pee again, I'm not paying for college. That's out. I'm serious. If I
hard because at five that's not a big threat.
Like, exactly. It's like that. Like that's
it's
a threat
like,
to him
I'm
right now.
I'm not gonna feed you.
Right. Well, that see that. But then you know they'll get taken away from you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
You can't.
Then
can't,
social services will show up, sir.
You have to feed them.
Yeah.
Have you not been
you
feeding
could,
your
you
children?
Well, of course I didn't feed him. He peed on the toilet.
Yeah.
Nah, you could threaten to feed him something that they really wouldn't like. Like I'm always gonna feed you Brussels sprouts.
Right. That's
you know,
all
because,
you'll eat.
Because social services can't take your kids away from feeding them vegetables.
No, they give you a medal for that.
Yeah, exactly.
I just realized that people are probably listening and. They know who Jared is, but they don't know who we are.
Yes,
I introduced
no
you. I introduced you.
No, I know, but they have no idea who's talking.
It doesn't matter.
It's that's just, true.
We're a handsome,
we're
big
handsome
orb. We're one unit. We're
floating,
the three-headed
orb.
Hydra of power.
Yeah.
This, this is Sven.
What?
When
this is Sven. This is Boris.
Boris.
This is Yeltsin.
Yeltsin right here.
The one thing, though, that is true, and I think having boys, it's a really, it's been easier, I
and
think,
between
probably for us, because it's much less just being a musician, you know what I mean? Like, when you deal with other musicians, they're mostly like, you know, small boys who don't know how to take care of
it's
children.
It's so true,
you know?
So true.
It's like, yeah, when did you last take a bath? I don't want to take a bath!
Yeah.
I'm a rock star!
Yeah.
It's like, are you drunk? I just need more juice, man!
It's time to go to bed. I don't want to go to bed! Yeah, she can't stay here.
Yeah, girls can't sleep over.
Girls can't sleep over.
Why?
It's just awkward, you know? Your mom would never approve.
No, that is
I mean,
seriously
you're talking about your
such
wife.
A true analogy. And you guys being brothers on the road, it's got to be even more so of like you know, those little things that you can't do for yourself have to annoy the hell out of each other, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the things that, you know all your everybody's quirks and you have to deal with it within, you know, sleeping within 6 inches away from one another.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know. Zach drops bombs bombs that could literally be used as weapons against Al Qaeda.
Yeah,
you know? We're considering actually offering him up as an Al Qaeda weapon.
I was gonna say maybe that's what we need.
I know you're doing these special ops things, but we could just drop Zach Hansen in.
Right,
Hansen dropped into the mountainous areas of Fallujah.
I feel
that's
sorry for
lethal.
People who sit on planes behind me. It's just so bad.
Are you a plane farter?
Oh, dude, I'm a fart farter. I fart wherever I can.
Seriously, you're that guy. Here's me. I don't fart on planes unless it's international and we've done like 21 shows in 21 days and I just don't care anymore.
Right.
Then I will plane fart. But for the most part, I try to hold that in.
Okay.
There's something wrong with Zach's colon. I'm just going to start that.
You know, and I hope you don't have any female listeners on this.
No, none. None at all.
You now have none. Because I'm going to go into farting and the technique of farting. To me, sort of hard fart.
What?
It's sort of a great sensation. There's sort of this relief. But if you just sort of like let it float out there slowly, you know, and that's the way it doesn't really stink because your bunghole doesn't open as much.
Oh! Is that true? No, I don't think that's true at all.
It's totally true. It's totally
true.
I think you're
making this up now. Yeah.
I'm not even a girl and I'm about ready to throw up. Thinking about his bunghole.
and the slow opening orifice.
Wow. You know,
oh my goodness!
I'm
so
enlighten the world.
So we've established that all boys pee on seats, and
yes.
You're a plain farter, Zach.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, my 4-year-old pees on seats a lot. Actually,
wow. We need to do an online video and just call it. There's farts on this motherfucking plane.
That has to be done.
Somebody is like, the whole time it just turns like, it's like, da-dunk, 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 and they turn around, it's like, you know, Samuel Jackson-esque guy.
Dude, that sincerely is probably the best idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, like, but the problem is, OK Go already did it. I'm just kidding. They
yeah.
Just seem to steal
what, anything
oh
that's
God.
Good on video,
yeah,
they've already
anything
done.
Anything on YouTube that's good, they've already stolen.
Doesn't that piss you off how amazingly creative their videos are? Like, and then, and every one is better than the last one.
Yeah, they've done some amazing stuff.
It really makes me mad.
And then, well, then it's like, okay, here's a song. We're going to do three videos that are amazing for it. And like, well, shit!
Yeah,
gotta leave some for the rest of us.
Oh my
man.
God, that that.
Well, what was it? This two shall pass. Was that the? Or sorry.
Well, that's the problem. You're going. Oh, the video was
yeah,
awesome.
No,
what's that
no,
song
the,
called?
Yeah. Well, herein lies.
You know,
that's
that,
all
herein lies
yeah.
the issue. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Almost. I think their problem has actually been their videos are almost so good that people don't even care about the song.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Yeah. No,
well,
I definitely.
Think, I think they would definitely. I mean, if the guys were sitting here right now, they would definitely have to argue that the videos have elevated the music further than music on its own.
There's no question. These are guys
created is awesome. You know this, which is great because
it's true.
That's part of who the artist is. I mean, look at David Bowie. I mean, half of his, you know, the attitude is half of what people got their head around. Yeah.
Now, it's look, that band went from playing, you know, back in the clubs or whatever, which we are, you know, to the same size venues as us, to you walking into the Apple store and they're on the freaking wall. You know what I mean? And you're like, holy shit. I mean, that's what a video can do for you.
Yeah.
Now.
And it's credit to anybody that's out there being creative because they, you know, everyone at their label had continued to have no creativity even after they took that, you know, once, you know, awesome but simple concept of running on treadmills and all of a sudden their feature performance on the MTV Music Awards.
Yeah.
It's not them performing,
the same year,
it's them
the same,
reenacting
same
their video.
That,
yeah.
Same year that the label said, we're not going to pay for your music video, they said, so it still after that and after another video and another video and after, still the label wouldn't even pay for their stuff. And finally they had they're like, okay, we're leaving, which is like, it's about time, guys.
Yeah.
You know, because
well,
they are propelling their business, you know.
Are you guys still on a label?
No.
No?
Well,
we've been on our own label, I should say. We're on a label.
Right. Well, because, you know, we just met.
Yes.
So I'll tell you, we've been on Jive Records for 10 years, and we're finally free. And so our next album comes.
Congratulations.
It comes out.
Buy you a drink. Celebration.
We
yeah.
are, and it's just. It is the most. It's people are like, is that scary? It's not scary at all. It is awesome. I mean, we're leaking shit on our own. Like we're just putting songs out there. Like and just hey, you guys just have this. We're making our own videos. We're you know, it's just it's awesome. We don't have to get nobody approves anything. It's.
Yeah.
There's nobody, you know.
No, but
what you just said is
not
amazing.
Even the band.
No, they don't even know what's on the album.
Stuff just happens, and we're like, oh yeah, that was us. That was us. That's a great idea.
And the band's like, all right, dude. Okay, here's the deal. Just sing into the microphone, no headphones. Just go.
Just
well,
go.
I was thinking about
album
the context
done.
When you said that, and it's amazing that you guys are finally, you know, doing it on your own and sort of off of the how the man doesn't have his grasp on you, But that sentence in a different context could have been
right.
a terrible thing. It's like
right.
people are just leaking shit. And like we don't even approve stuff, and like nobody's like,
yeah.
What
happened? What's
this
leaking?
On a plane?
Yeah, wait a minute. Seriously, discharge is bad.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's not a good thing.
I have to say, we decided to go, you know, indie and do it. Gosh, what was it? Well, in 2002 is when we actually left, but 2003 was when it became an actual company.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing about, on a serious note, though, it's not about, you know, when we started our label, we were kind of on the early curve of this new wave of indie because all the major labels have just been, you know, slowly committing suicide.
Right.
And we had this strange perspective where we had been really successful. And we're like, okay, if we're like, of the last several years, one of the biggest records, one of the, you know, a bigger band, and we're going through this, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And so we've got to get out.
Well, but
we
were seeing the collateral damage with
like
all
of
our friends.
We were the bands that
making records for 5 years. Our buddies Rooney made a record, what, four times.
Well, I mean, many other bands, and we're like, okay, we're the band that wasn't dropped.
Yeah, our last album sold a million copies
by the big labels.
Yeah,
this is on our third record, and we're like, so think about it. We're this band, and we're going through hell. So we said, guys, you know, on our third record, it's like we've made a record that you just don't get because you're a rap label now.
We've also made a record multiple times,
and we started our own, and we said we're gonna go, and so we left, started that label. And the thing about it is, it's not rocket science. It's about realizing that you are an entrepreneur. I mean, like, we started a business, you know, and I think a lot of artists, I mean, honestly, unfortunately, a lot of artists of our generation, I don't have a lot of hope from the point of view of, I think we still are mourning the past.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but a lot of, you know, if you're 20-something and up, people are mourning the past, whereas bands that are coming up now, they realize, now some of them maybe don't realize that you actually have to play, but they do realize that you
have to play. Guys, things don't matter.
Yeah,
that's the most remarkable thing that has been said today.
But they do realize that they have to be their own sort of marketing machine. They do,
yeah.
They do have to take ownership and kind of expect that they've got to go build something for themselves. And I think what we've been doing is basically investing in ourselves. You guys with your creativity and just saying, hey, I'm going to write with people. I'm going to, you know, just try different things. Like even doing a podcast, for that matter, is just actually being self-propelled.
Where we find ourselves, and this to me seems like the model that you guys follow, probably the best in the industry as far as I'm concerned, is that you guys know you have your fan base. You're in some ways, like, we consider ourselves preaching to the converted a lot. Like, fans that we have are the fans that we have. Yes, we pick up some along the way. We lose some along the way. But pretty much, it's the people that listen to us, and that's who it is. You know what I mean? We don't fool ourselves into thinking that there's going to be another 1985. It's not going to happen. We're going to all be 40 years old soon, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, the industry won't ever give us that shot again. It's not going to happen, you know? But it's a matter of, like, going out there and just doing what you do and enjoying it, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, and music is fun. You know?
Well, it's a really good job. I mean, there's 27 of us, but I was just going to say that I think the idea that it's going to happen or not going to happen is kind of, you know, not the point. It's what you're kind of saying.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Why, you know, what it is not the same anymore.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit like Bill Clinton, but it is not it. But the thing that you're trying to do, what are you trying to do? You're trying to have a connection and with a certain group of people and sustain that. And
right.
That's the thing that was kind of kicked out as the industry in the late 90s kind of just was in this, you know, gluttonous, you know, debauchery of, like, we are just rolling in money and everyone, you know, it was fake. It was like almost a fake, you know, bloated period, sort of like a tech boom, you know, like.
Yeah.
It was actually very similar to
that. There was an era where all of a sudden it was like people were buying stuff, that buying CDs again that they don't own on records, and it was like, wow. But all of a sudden, there's this new time where, in a way, it's back to basic brand concept, which is like, I'm Ford Motor Company, or I'm Billabong, or I'm like a cool whatever.
Well, let's just give
and
it.
I want to connect with people that like my stuff.
Yeah.
And if they like my stuff, I want them to continue to like my stuff. And the way I do that is I keep putting out things that they still want to have.
Exactly.
Like,
totally.
I don't. And I think it's one thing.
Don't fire the designers, you mean?
Like, don't fire all the designers and replace them with guys that are counting beans. Like, with us, you know, what we've done and what you're saying is pretty accurate in the sense that we know that if in any given year we play a certain amount of shows and we put out a certain amount of merchandise and we have a certain amount of fan club members, that our business will float. Like, the ship will not sink.
Right.
So then what it allows you to do is, but okay, so the ship's floating. We're cruising along. We're happy to be doing what we do. So now let's take a crazy risk. Let's, like, do a cool video that's, like, a little more expensive. Or let's take a risk and let's play some shows in cities where we're not going to sell the room at, because we want to be able to come back to that city next time and, you know, sell twice as many tickets because we showed up there and we lost a little money on the front end. Or let's do a partnership with a technology company that is trying to create a tool that people aren't using yet. You know, but we think it's going to be really.
Let's make some cool merchandise item that's going to cost a lot, but may be really cool.
Yeah, people are stoked about it. Yeah, it's interesting to hear all of these things because that's exactly where our ship is floating.
So
you know,
could you not
it
do
floats.
That while?
Are you farting?
My drink is below you.
Did you let that seep out of the bunghole?
You know, I gotta be honest. I fart so many times a day. Sometimes I don't realize I'm farting.
My mouth was open.
Is that
really? Okay, hang on. You know what's really shocking is that Zach actually found a woman that was attractive.
Oh yeah.
To be into you.
Yeah.
Because he farts so much. I'm convinced that Kate did not have any idea that you had such a flatulence issue.
Yeah, my wife is gorgeous, and I basically held the farts.
For like five years.
Did you?
And that's why my farting concentration is so high.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You're blaming her for it.
No, I'm just saying I tricked her. And also, farting is like sleep. They say when you miss sleep, you'll eventually make it up.
Right.
You have a sleep debt.
That's false advertising.
And so I have a fart debt.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to take me maybe another year or so to get back to sort of normal zero farting.
That's a really good question. How long were you guys with your wives before they would fart in front of you?
I don't think I'll ever be with my wife long enough for that.
Your wife doesn't fart in front of you at all?
I don't think it ever happens. She's a Southern girl, and the word is not even, if my daughter specifically even uses the word, and anybody really, but especially the ladies in the house, like, there is like a quick, like, honey. And like there's a zip it. There's like a permanent, like, she's able to kind of, the word doesn't even finish being
said.
See,
we're married to a couple of farters, me and Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my question. It was like, how long were you with her before the farting in the bed started? That's the thing.
Those are the sneaky ones. I mean, I don't know.
Gosh,
probably.
I have to be honest. I fart so much. I think it's always blamed on me.
Yeah.
Well, see, you are perfect. You're like the perfect cloud for her. You can just
You're the younger brother too. So probably your whole life they've been blaming farts on you.
Zach,
come on.
Well, like I don't think I farted a minute ago. I think it was I did.
But let's just say I don't care who did.
It wasn't me.
But my drink was down below. Okay? Let's just make sure that's clear.
Now, do you guys notice, like, over the years, I'm just sort of pointing out similarities that we have because I'm just interested in these kind of things. Do you notice have you noticed how your fan base has changed along with you guys throughout the years? I mean, like, we've gone through stages where, we were a punk rock club band. We played, everybody that came to see us drank. It was, we set record bar sales as we were coming up at that. I mean, seriously, like we were actually having a drink with a club owner last night who was like, seriously, we would make our nut for 6 months on Bowling for Soup coming and playing just off the bar. I mean, it was, and it basically they'd give us the whole door because we sold so many drinks. Then, you kind of find yourself onto pop radio a little bit. And then 1985 is a huge Radio Disney hit. And all of a sudden, we've got six-year-old kids coming to our shows, you know?
And they don't drink so much.
They don't drink.
That is shocking.
They don't drink. No, it's really interesting. But I'm just curious what those fluctuations for you that you guys have seen have been.
We've definitely seen, a change in our fans. Ours is sort of the opposite. Because we started off so young.
Right.
Our fans were, 11.
Yeah.
And then really more even in the last couple of years, handful of years, we've seen, the transition into our fans, being the ones at the bar, and then being the ones with kids.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is like, do you see the people that have been into your band for that long that are now bringing their kids to the shows and whatever, and now you've got like families showing up?
We do, honestly. You always hope that your audience is, a little wider than your, quote unquote, when you describe who are your fans. I always hate saying that, but clearly you grow up with, the first people you connect with, they're always going to be people that are more of your generation in most cases.
Yeah.
So yeah, when we started off, you had those younger fans, and now I'm 28, Zach's 25, Isaac's 30. I mean, you've got young moms, young dads, people that have like an 8-year-old, like I have an 8-year-old son, and younger than that, and you realize like several years from now you could have fans, oh my god, with like teenage kids.
Yeah.
A few years from now, but the cool thing about
fans that weren't born when you started.
We do.
We
That's
do.
What I'm
we
saying.
Do.
We've been a band 17 years.
Yeah.
So we actually have people, and this happens a lot in the UK, like, we have people bringing their grandkids to show. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. It gets nuts. And you have people who've been like, I've been listening to you since I was a wee lad, and now I'm bringing me kids, you know? And then all of a sudden, that kid's 13.
Yeah,
what do you,
yeah.
that's,
yeah.
this is
yeah.
insane. Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it's
really cool.
I think it means that you're doing something right.
Yeah, no, we
I don't
love
think
it.
A lot of,
we
I
love
don't
it.
Think a lot, I don't think a lot of bands reach that point, though.
What? Yeah.
I think a lot of scenarios self-destruct before you get to the point where you've got people, you know, whether it's kids who have never heard you before and are just being introduced to you, whether it's kids of your fans or things like that. I mean, you don't really get to, a lot of bands don't get to that point.
Well,
so that's really cool to have that opportunity.
To me, it's kind of bands get to qualify themselves as a family heirloom. Yeah.
It's true.
But
no,
I think we're just a hand-me-down.
Yeah.
Right. I guess they're gosh, you know, overalls that every kid wears. I think there's a good comparison, honestly, to the whole fashion industry, which is that you have, you know, look at fashion, you'll see things that'll be these trends.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, everybody's wearing pants down to their knees, and every single person is doing that.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it goes away.
Pants down to their knees?
Yeah. Yeah. Shorts.
Don't pants go to your ankles?
Yeah. No, exactly.
That's what I thought.
No, wearing pants at your knees. My point is that...
Taylor's like, I didn't get the joke.
The point is that the different... I think a lot of... You've got these kind of waves of bands where it's a trend-driven band.
Yeah.
And I think the difference being, you know, that you have stuff that becomes classic, you know, where it's like,
right.
It's good and it stays good because it's a certain... Because it's not trying to be everything. Like Levi's is a good example of, like, they never made, like, the hip-hop pants.
Right.
But
yeah. Stuck
now,
with the program.
Like, however
yeah.
many years later... People just buy Levi's jeans because they're good jeans.
No,
and they,
that's,
went, and they
know,
went through
and,
a and
they
went through a lull.
Did, but Tommy
it.
Hilfiger comes along and goes, we're gonna make like hip hop jeans and like all these other diesels and blah blah blah. But
it can bust the sag,
but
whatever that is.
But Levi's never did that. And I think with music, it's like it's not about not kind of connecting as things change and as there's new trends and things like that. But ultimately it's like, what do we do? Do we know who we are? Why do people like what we do? How are they connected with it? And then making that as good as possible every time. Without
yeah.
it becoming like losing your identity every trend. Look, now it's the fall season. We're going to go with sweaters. And in the spring, we're all going to be in Speedos. It's like, okay, well, what do you look good in? You know, maybe you should never be wearing Speedos. Maybe Speedos are just not the thing to ever be wearing.
And now all I have is a mental picture of Taylor standing there wearing like a button-up cardigan
and a speedo,
yeah, and I want to throw up.
I think what you're not saying, but directly referring to, and I hate using this phrase, but I'm gonna say it because it's not even a word. It doesn't count because it's not a real word. But jeggings. You're talking about people wearing these
girls wearing
leggings that look like jean pattern and calling them pants. No, you're just walking around in your underwear, and dudes are starting to do it, and it's like, man. Your butt is, like, gross.
Yeah. And I can't stop looking at it. Seriously.
It's just like...
Yeah, he must work out.
You're like a fat superhero.
This is...
It's not cool.
This is along the same lines, but it's totally changing the subject. How do you feel about people at the supermarket wearing pajama pants?
I hate it.
I absolutely hate it.
Gotta admit. I understand you're in high school, ma'am... But pajama pants on an airplane, unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
I think we can just thank Victoria's Secret and people like that
loss of all sense of style and the fact that they don't recognize it as just walking around in your underwear.
Right. Well, my wife is a college professor. And so, like, you know, I'm on campus quite a bit. And the number of young ladies... going to class in their pajama pants, I get angry. I want to honk my horn and push the accelerator through crowds of children because they're wearing pajama pants
got this
to school.
On tape to confirm.
Yeah, we'll know what happened.
Yeah. So the day before, it's
Is it possible that they're just so much looser that they want to have pants and clothes they can easily take off at any moment?
What? Oh. They're at the grocery store.
I don't know. They might be getting it on in the freezer.
Wait, let me put this. If they're buying, four packs of condoms and a couple of pregnancy tests, yes.
Okay, I'm just saying. You know. Wait, while we're on the topic of clothes that don't make sense in public, what is the deal with, one, people wearing pants that fall down to their knees, and two, this new trend of sort of wearing shoes that are untied? You know what I mean? Like that thing. Like,
that's not new.
That was old school.
That's one of the this is a Taylor Hanson special of one of those that came back.
Well,
yeah.
I know. What I mean is, it is currently something that I'm seeing constantly.
Yeah.
Guys walking around.
You're talking about
boots
and stuff like that.
Well, everything. You're like, dude, what if like a bear comes around? You're screwed.
This is what Zach thinks about.
No, but
what if I'm walking down through the 6 feet of
a bear?
What if there's any sort of scenario? You know,
you're not supposed to run from a bear. You're supposed to play dead, right?
Yeah, that's what the bears say.
Yeah, right.
please,
whatever you do,
wrap yourself up in this tortilla.
Yeah.
Bears handbook.
Make sure they tell them to lay down and play dead.
Right.
Pour paste picante sauce on. Simmer for 5 minutes.
If you're going into an area that's populated with bears, make sure you have lots of cheese and bacon on you, because that's what keeps the bears away.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
little bacon cologne.
Yeah.
I know you guys are super busy at South by Southwest. Just tell me, tell everybody, all of the listeners, what's up with you guys? What's next? What are you doing?
Well, there's a new record that's out now. It's called Shattered Out, and we're basically running around promoting the new single. It's called Give a Little. And we can play it on the show, I guess.
Yeah, let's play it.
Music, right?
Yeah, let's play it right now, actually.
You want to just go for it?
Yeah. Okay, here we go. You want to introduce it?
Yeah, this is Give a Little. It's a new single. It's a kind of classic pop, 60s soul kind of ditty.
All right, here it is.
Painted lips. Did what she loves to keep you in suspense. But she knows she just wants to dance. Give a little hot ass song. Let her body lose control. Yeah. Give a little oh-oh-oh. Just give a little. Wrap your arms around and give a little. Come on.
Single from my friends Hanson, and I would like to point out that I'm apologizing to you guys for not wearing pants during this interview.
Yeah, we've been pointing out that.
Oh shit! I did that last time. I did too. Sorry. You know what? And I leave hiccups on, so okay. Like that's staying.
Oh, good. It was good. It was a good hiccup.
Actually, where was
that? You're not wearing pants at all.
Yeah,
that's actually what really makes this interview interesting.
Where did that sound come from? Was that coming out of my computer?
Yeah.
I did that exact same thing. This is a new setup for me. By the way, just a visual description of what's going on. We've invited Hanson to our hotel room here in lovely downtown Austin. Yeah.
This is actually the first hotel room key I've gotten this whole South by Southwest.
They were like, why are you barricading the door? What's going on?
I don't have any pants.
Yeah, and you're not wearing pants. Wait a minute. How old are you again, dirty old man?
This is a different kind of interview than I thought it was going to be.
Well,
it's an audition, gentlemen.
You're like, I'm making an art film. You want to be a part of it?
You guys are doing the whole week here and actually getting time to spend and walk around and anything. Obviously, we watched Rooney last night, and I was stoked to see that. I actually saw them play about 8 months ago, I think it was. They did the Hotel Cafe show in L.A. where they played acoustic.
Yeah, I love that spot.
It was freaking great. It was so good.
Yeah, they're a really good – I mean, the thing about them is Robert writes really great melodies, and all the guys are great players.
Super musical guys.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor is an amazing guitarist. Ned's just a pocket drummer.
Yeah.
Louis got, you know, amazing feel on keys.
Is the bass player new?
He's relatively new. Yeah.
He's real huge. Seriously, it was.
They hired him. And he was a bouncer first.
Seriously, it's like he doubles as security as well. Yeah,
he's new. Their original bass player left, so I think
he's been with them for a year and a half, something like that.
Yeah. So, that was a great show. Anything else you guys are I'm seeing you guys at the Grammy party tonight.
Yeah, I mean we're here at South by. We're playing on Saturday night, and the single is kind of out in the universe. I mean, if anybody's, you know, we're actually going at radio in this day and age, where radio is sort of like, in many ways, it's obsolete. But we felt like. We had this record was kind of more radio driven, and we wanted to go for it. So the song's out there. So if you're listening to your local station, want to be like, hey, play Hanson, that would be awesome. Basically, we're gonna be touring a lot of international stuff this year.
Yeah,
we'll be doing some stuff in the UK and Europe, and probably Latin America.
We should go to the UK and Europe together.
That would be cool.
That would be a blast.
That'd be awesome.
We go to the UK about 3 times a year.
Really?
And I think we're going to give mainland Europe another try. You know, we do really well over there, but you know, it's one of those things where it's like we have huge following in certain countries where we just can't get promoters to buy into the whole idea, you know.
Well, we're trying to go back there this coming fall. So,
yeah. We should discuss. I think
deals are happening, right?
Fans would love it.
Yeah, your people, they should call my people or our people.
Your people.
Yeah, wait.
Are we people? Don't you guys have? Aren't you? Yeah, you are your people.
Well, yeah, you're your people. So. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
There's some people.
So we should just exchange cell numbers then.
And
make this happen.
Anything else you guys want to plug? You guys, I know that your Twitter is Hanson Music.
Yep.
Yes.
Are you guys active on the social networks?
Yeah. I mean, we're not constant. I think we're actually more active in a holistic sense, not just on a Twitter or Facebook, but what goes on. I think what goes on our website is pretty active. The live streaming stuff. We're going to be doing other random live streaming things throughout this week, erratic things probably. blogs, you know, the fan club is really active, and so I think that is a little bit
we can get pretty I mean, there are periods where, you know, you go through multiple tweets a day, and then periods where it's a little bit of a lull, but yeah, we interact.
It's one of those things where, like, it's when we, you know, it's, again, I sort of, another similarity is that, you know, as you guys too, at the height of your success, we didn't, and ours too, we didn't really have these things. We didn't really have to tweet or, you know, let anybody know what we were having for dinner nightly.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
or
man, I just had the greatest dump.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It's seriously. That's I'm noticing a reoccurring theme
like
with you guys.
Are sharing those
yeah. Oh no. I and believe me. I we're guilty of that. We're you know. It's
Charlie Sheen says that, and then he's just like winning.
Yeah.
And you're like.
Yeah,
really?
He's pooping tiger's blood or something. That's not good.
It's
right?
Not good at all.
Yeah, you see, you got blood
got
in your
bleeding colon.
Yeah, you got blood in your stool. That's bad. Tiger blood in your stool. Seriously,
woo!
Check right into a cemetery. It's over. Well, thank you guys so much for coming to our awesome setup here.
You're
and
really
thank
fun.
You.
Looking forward to the show and hooking up. And we're actually playing Tulsa in April. And,
28th.
April 28th.
We just might be there.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Be fun. So, but last thing, we have your number one fan is a huge Bowling for Soup fan. Her name is Tiffany Hamilton. You guys just give her a shout out for us.
Okay. Hey, Tiffany, what's up? What's up, Tiffany?
Thanks for being a fan.
All right.
I never say what's up. I only say it to you, so you should feel special.
And he did that while farting.
I think she's no longer a fan because of our discussions.
Enjoy the rest of your week, guys, and thank you for being a part of it.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, this is my podcast. This is my podcast. This is my podcast. Hey.